A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And I suggest you shut up and show more football.
Come on, come on. Figure. We've done that thing. Can we not knock it?
I am flabbergasted. I wouldn't even let them on the bus after the match. I get a taxi back to Manchester.
Again, please don't call me arrogant, because what I'm saying is true. I think I'm a special one.
When the seagulls follow the troll, it's because they think sardines will be thrown into the sea. Thank you.
Understand what I'm trying to get at. Yes, he was a great player. Yes, he was a wonderful leader. But he wasn't a magician.
I'll take him out, son. I mean that. Take him.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, son.
Now, I wasn't necessarily referring to you when I said that. I meant to all of those who have listened in recent weeks and months and have been kind enough to say they've missed us through Christmas and the New Year.
Have they?
Yeah. So, welcome back. That's an area...
Welcome back you first.
Thank you.
Then I was going to say welcome back.
Did you have a nice Christmas and New Year?
Quietish.
Yeah?
Quietish, but enjoyable. Family went back from the UK and it was nice. So, very, very quiet. Nothing riotous like we used to do. What about you?
Same.
Same?
Yeah. My name's Richard Keys.
I'm Andy Gray.
Sadly, Nigel's out with his family today, so that's the latest reason.
Yes.
He can't be with us. But I understand, because our weekend here in this part of the world
is different.
Friday, Saturday. Mm-hmm. So when you get the chance to spend time with your family, and Nigel's got young children,
of course,
then you should take it.
And, of course, they're homeschooling at the moment, so Mrs. de Jong is under pressure when he comes and spends a lot of time away from home.
The social media is an area that we're going to expand on in this coming year. I think a lot of stuff that we've done, Andy, hasn't necessarily hit the mark as widely as it should have done. So I repeat what I've always said. Now you found us, do please tell your mates. We are totally independent. We're not under the umbrella of any organization whatsoever. So we are able to express thoughts and views here that are very much our own.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
Today we shall be speaking to a player, our guest, nicknamed the Wasp, the Pest. Hold on.
I know, I'm not going to name. I'm just going to ask you a
question. And the Crocus.
Okay. Would he be... for the club that we're going to talk about as well, would he be, when you're talking historically about importance, up there with the best they've had?
I was going to ask you the very same question. His goal,
that's what I mean,
in that playoff was rated the greatest ever in a poll in 2005.
Oh, give it away there.
But has it been bettered by the events under Mancini?
Oh, you've given that away.
Well, it's a...
well done, son. Bang goes that.
Well, yes and no. It still leaves a little bit of that.
It leaves a little bit, yeah.
Because you could argue without...
That's what I mean.
The first one...
Yes, you don't get the second.
There isn't Aguero.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Exactly.
The enormity of that goal...
Well, that's what I was thinking. Is he up there with...
Is open now we're for talking discussions.
Is he up there at that club in the same way that the fans would look at Aguero company? Yaya Toure, David Silva,
as an individual,
Kevin De Bruyne.
No,
but I'm not talking
as a contributor.
That.
Yes,
yeah, obviously he'd be the first to say they are unbelievably good footballers. Yeah. We've just mentioned there, but for his contribution at that particular time for that club, it must be right up there,
massive. And you should never forget Mark Halsey.
Was he ref?
He was the ref.
I knew Halsey would be there somewhere.
he added on the 30 minutes of stoppage.
Did you feel it? Well done, Mark. Top class. <son. laughs>
He's got a very special place in the heart of City fans. Going to try each week to find five stories that interest me, and I'd like to get your reaction.
I like that. You're the journalist.
Here's the first one, and I don't wish to be too harsh here, because you never know what's going on in somebody's private life.
Correct.
Agreed?
Yes.
Same with you and I, and we've been battered from pillar to post by many without anybody really understanding the truth. So I don't want to be too harsh because it didn't quite work out for the lad, and I think he has got issues away from football, but this stopped me in my tracks this week when I read that Bournemouth are to be sued by Jordan Ibe over image rights. The former... I can see it on your face. You see, that's what I thought. The former Liverpool forward is suing Bournemouth over a dispute around image rights payments held back after his career was derailed by off-field troubles. This is a deal that incorporated both his image and shirts, replica shirts, sold during his time at the football club. I repeat what I said before I continue. I don't want to be too harsh.
Well, I think you should.
But I don't I think this is an issue that is worth arguing about. Would you feel?
Well,
unless there's a minimum sum written into the contract
unless there's a minimum sum of 100,000 a year or something like that written in, which I doubt. I mean, come on. Do you think sometimes the modern day footballer, not all of them, but do you think some of them get carried away with their own importance? I'm just talking in general.
Well, I think it's a we've moved into that area, haven't we, where payment for services rendered is split into different categories, and that is one of them. Okay, four, the man who led United nowhere, Ed Woodward. When he took over at Manchester United, they were seventh in the Premier League, 22 points off the top spot. As he leaves, they are seventh in the Premier League and 22 points off the top spot.
Well done, Ed. Good return on your interest, your investment.
He has spent $1 billion.
1.2 billion.
During the time that he's been there.
1.2.
In the same...
What?
In the same vein.
You know him. Wait a minute.
No, I don't. I know his predecessor,
and you know, David. But you know of him, and you know his history, I guess. Yeah. You know, but where he came from.
Yeah.
Was he round peg, square hole, square peg, round hole? Was he the wrong man, or did he just make bad decisions?
I think he got unlucky in some ways because he succeeded a very competent character in David Gill.
Oh, better than competent.
David got lucky in so much as that his time was associated very...
Fergie's time.
Correct. Very closely to Alex Ferguson.
And the crop of great players that they had at
that
time.
When 50 years from now... we look back at all of this, or somebody else does, because it won't be you and I.
It won't be, no.
I think they might come up with the conclusion that I've argued for many years, that Fergie was allowed to stay too long.
Really?
Wow. That whilst Manchester United sat mesmerised by his presence, football moved on. And Manchester United
didn't. You don't think he did?
Didn't.
You don't think Fergie moved on?
No, I don't think so. I think
he did into the modern era, because I don't think he could have had the success, Keezy. I've always said to you, Cluffy, we've always debated Cluffy.
Yes.
You know, because I played when Cluffy was in his pomp, and he coached in a certain way. And Alex had a lot of old school coaching about him. And we always debated that. Do you think Cluffy could have coached in the modern era the way he did? And I don't know, but he would have had to have adjusted. And I think Fergie did adjust. I think Fergie, he never lost what he was, but he had to embrace the modern era.
I agree with all of that, but that, I think, is superficial.
All right.
I don't think anything beneath him changed. I think he his iron fist was on top of everything. And
you don't think that's what they need now?
No, I think they need... I still think they're catching up, Andy. I still think they need... Their player recruitment has been bad. Why? Because that department isn't as good as Liverpool's, for instance. I think that they're not just player recruitment, but the way that the club is run in terms of the youth now isn't as strong as it once was
youngsters
in a different
are,
time.
Youngsters are going to other clubs.
Yeah, they're all going to Manchester City, which is something that you could never have imagined during Fergie's time. So I think that Ed Woodward got unlucky in that respect. I think if you're judging him on... Did he keep United commercially successful? Yes, he did.
Well, that's a different argument.
Did he keep them successful on a football pitch? No he didn't.
No.
What was his biggest mistake, in my view?
Sacking David Moyes.
Yeah,
I would agree with Moyes. I think Moyes, in fairness to David, he's always believed he didn't get a fair crack at the whip, and he didn't. And I think it must be a little bit sore for him when he sits and sees what a good job he's done with the resources he's got at hand at a club like West Ham. and had David stayed there and they given him 1.2 billion, I think Manchester United would be a very much different entity.
Had Woodward managed to get a deal for Bale or Ronaldo or Fabregas across the line and make them Moyes' first signing rather than Maro and Fellaini, then
yeah, that
I think it could have been viewed very differently as well,
the
beginning of that era. But I think that was an error. I think he's been chasing his tail ever since. And I also believe it's the
But what about his successor?
Richard, I don't know much about. They say strong man, Andy. See, I also think Ed Woodward.
Is Masters involved in the Premier League in any shape or form, no?
Arnold.
Oh, Richard Arnold.
Richard Arnold takes over. Now, I think Woodward spent too much time in the thrall of agents. I think he was flattered by the attention he got from them. And probably let a little bit of it perhaps go to his head in a way he shouldn't have done.
What about the owners?
Well, until the Glazers decide to sell and move on.
We seem to forget them in the last few months. They haven't had a mention.
It's not easy working for them, is it?
Can be.
It can't be.
Can be.
But they own the club. They've got a right to run it the way that they want to. I'll tell you what I would do. I think number three in this list, right, Andy, aligned very closely to the previous story. Cristiano Ronaldo, back page of the Mirror today. Get it right, boss, or I'm off. Well, I'll tell you what, son.
Who said that?
You go.
Who said that?
Ronaldo.
I know. I love him. You know I do.
I love him.
And I've backed him all this.
I love his contribution.
I still think he's contributing more than most at 36.
Yes. Yeah.
But no, you can't be doing that. I'm sorry.
I have
it. If that's genuine and he says, get it right and I'm off, I'm sorry. I'd just be phoning him up this morning and say, listen, Cristiano, you've got 3 weeks left in January.
Yeah.
If you want to find yourself another club.
Well, that's exactly what I would do. And I've said it to you on very, very good source. Mm-hmm. I have it that he was one of the exponents of stopping the appointment of Antonio Conte. When the senior players were asked, what do you think? He was very influential in saying no. Now, whether that's as a result of information he got from his mates at Juventus, where Conte was hard work or not, I don't know. But I think the minute Conte heard that, I mean, a number of papers are venturing near saying that now. Not many are prepared to, but they're saying that senior players were worried. He was the architect, in my view, from what I've been told.
When you're talking about influential and senior players, he's the top.
Yeah, I'm not playing under him. United are now saying, well, Conte was too much of a man for detail.
That's embarrassing. That's embarrassing.
So I think the minute Conte heard this, that's when he decided, I'm off to Tottenham. I would be quite happy to let him go at this point, because I know what you're saying, and I've been a big fan, and I still think between the two, give me Ronaldo or Messi, I'm taking Ronnie all day.
Me too. Huh?
But I think his influence at Manchester United is more destructive at the moment than constructive.
But they have to work that out. I mean, they've not made a very good job. So, well, the last win, did Fergie go? 8 years ago? Mm. 9 years ago? Something like that? And they've won three trophies?
9 of 32 ties this weekend in the FA Cup. Only 9 will have VAR. How can that be right?
It's not right. Just don't have VAR at all. Don't use it. It's just unfair. Why don't people who are making these decisions, I mean, why don't they see that it's just not right, it's unfair, and it's simple. Just say, in these rounds of the FA Cup, until every game can be covered by VAR, there will be no VAR. Mm. We'll referee it in the normal way. I don't see what the big issue is with it.
So West Brom play this weekend at home, former Premier League club. Yeah. So the technology has been used there previously, but because the Championship isn't licensed, they can't use it.
So they're playing Brighton.
Yeah.
But if it was the other way around, Brighton were playing West Brom.
Yes.
Brighton could use it.
Yes.
It's mad.
Also, the nice, lovely piece this by Alison.
What number
Rudd.
Are we at?
We're at number two, right. Alison Rudd. On that same vein, Alison Rudd, Chesterfield's trip to Chelsea is a reminder of the FA Cup final that could have been.
We were there.
Yeah.
Old Trafford.
Yeah, she also makes reference to John Howard's thunderous strike, which hit the bar and bounced over the line.
Yes,
those of us
agreed.
That were there
agreed.
Know it was over the line. David Ellery, the referee, with no recourse to goal line technology, didn't give the goal, even though his assistant had run towards the halfway line, believing one had been scored.
Yes.
You remember?
Yes.
Now, we went to see Ellery. Jeff Shreves went to see Ellery twice at the end of that game to say, why didn't you give the goal? He gave us two excuses as to why, and neither fitted the crime.
No.
He should have given the goal.
He should have given the goal. Yes. It was a travesty of justice for
absolute disgrace.
Absolute shocker.
Absolutely.
Sean Dyche played that day, didn't he?
Sean got a pen back. To make them.
Yeah.
Sean got a pen.
Did he score a pen? Didn't
yeah.
He,
as you would expect, yeah. A big fella. And this baffles me. Number one, I am staggered by this. Almost 8 years have passed since David Ellery, the most powerful figure in English refereeing for as long as the current generations of officials can recall, said to a black colleague at St. George's Park, words to the effect, "You look rather tanned. Have you been down a coal mine?" In the intervening period, the man who holds the careers of English referees in his hands, not to mention the very laws of the game, this is Sam Wallace today in The Telegraph, great piece, has not seen any great reduction of his considerable power. He apologised for what he said to Rob McCarthy, a referee coach who's since left the Football Association. Ellery attended a diversity training course and might have assumed that the matter would simply disappear, except for a man accustomed to getting his own way, it stubbornly refuses to do so. Quite right, too, that this has gone on for 8 years is an absolute scandal. Now, Ellery underwent diversity course, perhaps reset his mind on many subjects. But I'm thinking about incidents recently.
Yes.
Where individuals who have muttered same or less have been swiped from the surface of the earth.
Social media for you.
How has Ellery got away with it? A man described by Mark Clattenburg, no less, in his book, as a slippery, sly toff.
Well, maybe he's got away with it, Richard, because he's not regarded as important enough to bother about.
Well,
Is he a big enough fish for people to actually go after?
Well, I don't know whether being a big fish or not is right.
But the bigger the fish, the more likely you are to get battered.
Well, I wasn't a very big fish.
Yeah, you were, son. 20 years ahead of the top football in the country. You were a big fish.
And by the way, on that subject, I noticed a piece from David Gower recently defending Bumble, and I'm glad he did, and I would defend Bumble. Not in what he said, but Bumble has a right to say it privately, and this is the point. This is the point David Gower was making. There's a difference between what we say to each other, and we're all, by the way, anybody that isn't prepared to accept that this is the case is lying. What we say to each other, and then what we might say on air. There shouldn't be a great difference between the views you have and those that you then subsequently discuss. But there are times when we all get caught having a chuckle about things that we shouldn't.
Yes,
that's true. So Gower said, "Well, look, you know, in Michael Vaughan's case, and certainly Bumble's, there's a difference between what you say on air and what you say off." That may be so, but I don't remember David saying too much about that when you and I found ourselves in a bit of trouble as a result of. As a result of a telephone that had sat on a table in my studio and recorded conversations that were taking place. Nothing ever went to air. Anyway, that's not the point.
No.
What I'm saying here about Ellery is he's discussed leaving. He should.
He should, yeah.
Yeah. The FA said that there was an investigation, but they couldn't confirm the scope of the investigation and time had moved on. They also now can't tell us when Ellery is actually going to be leaving. It's extraordinary for me that he remains, as Sam says, the most powerful man in English refereeing, so powerful that the governing body for English football will not even say anything about his position or the investigation or indeed whether he has proffered his resignation. It is rumoured that he'll be leaving at the end of the current season. Good. He should leave now.
Well, he should leave now, but he'll probably want to leave at the end when there's a
that shouldn't be his choice.
No, it shouldn't be his choice, but it will be his choice. As I've said to you, he's a powerful man in that sphere, but I don't think he's, what's the word I'd like, current or a big enough fish for others to go after him.
Andy, this is the man that's rewritten the rules of VAR 11 times.
Yeah.
179 different rule changes during his time.
But if you went to football supporters around the country.
How powerful do you need to be?
But if you went to football supporters around the country and said, who runs the PGMOL? I bet you three quarters of them couldn't tell you.
Well, fortunately now, the FA's latest chief executive, Mark Bullingham, has reviewed the whistleblower's evidence that has come to light again in recent weeks and has commissioned a legal firm, Parker Bullen, to conduct an independent investigation into what happened The FA would not confirm the scope of the investigation, nor who else it would include. Well, but
they're having an investigation into him, and he's sitting there watching this, and he's about to leave at the end of the season, and just go now, as you say. Why drag it on?
What does that actually say, though, about... I mean, there are so many people that have got into trouble, players who have who have been suspended for tweets that they published in 2010.
Yes.
You know, and yet this, for me, is a significant story that deserves far more attention than it's had. And I don't understand at all why it has not come to the interest of many, many others.
Well, watch your space, I would say.
I hope
over the next few weeks, I would think.
I hope so.
Definitely.
Anyway, that's our 5-1, I think. Congratulations to Graham Sharp.
Yes, Sharpie.
Board member, Everton.
Do you know what? I'm delighted for him. Mm. His life has been Everton since he was a... What age would he have been? He came down from
20.
Barton.
20?
20, 22.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, and I was, it's about, probably about 20.
And he was a baby.
He's been there ever since. Mm. And, you know, I could not have been more pleased when I saw the headline. Somebody texted me to say Sharpie's just been voted onto the board at Everton. I called him straight away just to wish him all the best and congratulate him. It's great news. Somebody like that from that era, hopefully can have an influence.
We should have known something was happening when we called him recently. I went on my Rafa rant.
You did.
And he wasn't having any of it, was he?
He was back in Rafa. I'm looking at you quizzically thinking, that's Sharpie, and we called the wrong number. So,
there's only one way for me, sadly, when you go onto the board of a football club, and that's ultimately, obviously, you're coming off, but you come off a whole lot more unpopular, usually, than when you went on. I think so. Uh-huh. Yeah, because right now, although he was not responsible for helping in the appointment of Benitez,
he's
there now to protect the appointment of Benitez.
Yes, he is.
And that's going to put him at odds with well, maybe, it already has us.
Well, maybe.
He can't not but maybe, defend the manager.
In fairness to Sharpie, maybe Sharpie thinks Rafa's a man for the job. Maybe Sharpie thinks he's the right man. I don't know.
Would that be a view shared by the most successful team in Everton's history, generally, would you say?
No.
No.
Give me time to think about it. No. But listen, I'm sure there's a few of them who in that team who think, yeah, he's done a good job. He's the right man.
But he's 1 point better off.
I know he is.
1 point better off right
Mike
now
Walker.
Than Mike Walker was when Mike was sacked. Leicester up next week in the league. I don't understand how he can survive. You've fallen out with one of the best left backs in the Premier League and bought another one, having not had any money in the summer. You've now got 30 million quid, which he spent on two right backs.
Mm. No, right back.
Sorry, a right back and a left back, two full backs. Yeah. Why?
An area of the pitch that was quite strong, actually.
I'm sitting watching quite him against strong. Brighton thinking, you don't need full backs.
No. I think Seamus Coleman's still got legs. You know, Godfrey can play right back easy. We had Dina, who can play left back better than most. It's staggering. Listen, Rafa runs the club.
We know he does that now.
He does now.
Yeah, unfortunately. Mm. Okay, let's change the subject. Let's talk. Let's talk Manchester City.
Oh, right.
And of course, it's not been too difficult a quiz this week, has it? The Wasp, the Pest, and the Crocus. Joe Royal called him a crocus because he tended to come out in the spring.
No. Oh, Joe.
He didn't say it was the only time he came out.
That's funny.
But his best form was in the springtime. I always thought he was a pest. I thought he was a terrific little combatant. He never left defenders alone, did he?
No, he had to be a pest for his size. He had to be a nuisance. You know, when you're as small as he was, and you play where he played, you in those days, if you weren't aggressive, if you weren't a pest, you got chewed up and spat out. You really did. Maybe not so much these days. If he played now, he'd probably get away with being sort of less physical, less combative, for want of a better word. But in those days, when he was playing in his prime, you had to be combative to look after yourself. Otherwise, big boys, big centre backs would chew you up. There's no doubt about that.
Let's share some memories and some, by the way, some very current with Manchester City's problems with COVID. Some very current information with Paul Dickoff.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight.
Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Paul, how are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year to you, son. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Mr. Ambassador.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been fantastic, actually, the last sort of 4 or 5 years since I came out of management. The club asked me to start doing some work with them, and then it just sort of escalated. You know, before lockdown, I was traveling all over the world with them. You know, one week I was in India, the next I was China, Australia, New York, traveling everywhere.
I'm delighted, Paul. You as much as and more than anybody deserve that. And we'll get round to that. So I'm really, really pleased for you.
See, it's a Scottish influence, you see. People are realising you need it at your club.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Listen, Graham Sharp.
By the way, I disagree with that. As we know, going all the way back to Hansen, Souness, Dalglish, it was always considered...
The city of any, apart from Paul, what were the biggest Scots about a city, Paul?
Derek Parlane.
No, I mean bigger than
that. Jim Tolmie. What do you mean? Oh.
I don't remember. Jim told me.
Yeah, Jim was there under Billy.
You remember Jim?
No, he doesn't. That's why he's gone quiet.
I remember my granddad saying something about
him. Well done, me man. Well done. Have that, you too.
Quack. I was on the radio in Manchester in those days.
Jim told me.
Jim told me, and Derek Parlane.
City didn't have a clutch of them the way United, Liverpool and others had.
I'm thinking as you're talking. No, I think that's probably true. Mm-hmm. They probably, when I was watching City, they probably more had Mackhams. They had Dennis Chut.
No.
Mickey Horswell from that cup final team. They had Mickey further back. But this is an era Paul knows nothing about. So we probably not stay.
He's a student of the game, that boy.
Absolutely.
Yes, thank you.
Absolutely not. We were discussing, Paul, and I'm sorry, we're going to have to again. 2005, your goal was voted the greatest in Manchester City's history. Has it been usurped by what Aguero did?
I think so. You know, I speak to the City fans and they say that without my goal, the Aguero goal wouldn't have happened. Mm-hmm. But I think what's surrounding the Aguero goal, the first Premier League under the new owners, which was when they came in, they made no secret that's what they wanted. And I just think the whole drama surrounding it, you know, being 2-1 down, looking as if Manchester United were going to win the league up at Sunderland, Dzeko then scoring. And I think everybody was thinking it was going to be typical City again.
Yeah.
Just missing out a disappointment for the fans and then the Aguero goal. And it's going to be the most iconic moment in Premier League history, I think. It is at the minute, and I think it always will be.
I am with those, though, that say, and I said to Andy before you joined us, there is a strong argument without your goal.
Mm. That's a huge argument.
There isn't Aguero.
Yeah.
There really isn't.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that's the only goal I scored in my career, guys.
That's not true. That's not true. We know that.
Okay, take us back there. You're deep in stoppage time. You're getting beaten. The whole future of the club is on the line. That fool Mark Halsey is the referee. At what point did you have a conversation with Mark and say, how long, ref? Mark.
Keep playing.
That was just the most bizarre game ever. And look, we knew how important that game was as players. But it wasn't until afterwards that they found out how important it really was. You know, leading into the game, we knew that the club had to get promoted. They were in a position that was the lowest depth of the club's history. And a club like Manchester City should never have been there. So we knew to get back up at the first attempt how important it was. And then to be 2-0 down. I remember when Gillingham went 2-0 up, just crouching on the turf at Wembley and thinking we've blown it. You know, with 40,000 City fans there, where are we going to go from here? And then Kevin Harlock scored. And then I just had a weird feeling. And you know what it's like, Andy. I just knew I was going to get one more chance. And then obviously to get the chance and score the goal, the equaliser. And that's the weird thing about it. We're talking about the Aguero goal there. Aguero's goal was the winner. You know, and I thought I'd get a lot of credit for scoring the equaliser. Still seems a little bit strange. And then obviously to go on and win it in penalty with Nicky Weaver and his daft celebration. And then the weeks afterwards, I remember speaking to David Bernstein, who was the chairman at the time, who was an amazing guy. And it was only then that we found out that if we hadn't won that game, that the club had the possibility of, huge possibility of going into administration, if not liquidation. So as a group of players, it was probably just as well. We didn't realise that.
Whose was the best finish, yours or Aguero's?
Mine.
Good lad.
Yeah.
Just for those, I left you speechless talking about Parlane and Tolmie. Paul, but for those who are unaware of the consequences and details surrounding it, it was a playoff final against Gillingham, yes?
Yeah, that's right. We'd just, in the space of 2 years, been in the Premier League. We just stayed up in what's the Championship now, the first season. And then obviously we went down to Division 2 at the time, which is obviously League 1 now. And the club was in turmoil, guys. It was, when I signed in August of 96, from the August to the January, I actually had five different managers, which a lot of people didn't realise. You know, I signed for Alan Ball, God bless him, on the Friday. And then on the Monday, on Sunday, Alan Ball left the club, and I was sort of like, oh, cheers, thanks for that.
Cheers, Gaffer, you met a ticket, wink. Give me the nod.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember sitting with Franny Lee and Alan Ball on the Friday, signing, they were talking about the future for the club and where the club was going, and then 48 hours later, I didn't have a manager. And then it just went crazy from there.
Who came after?
Phil Neal was one, I think, was he not?
Yeah, Asa Harford came in.
Asa, yes.
And then Steve Coppell came in for the
30 days.
The record set, yeah, 30 odd days. And then Phil Neal, and then Frank Clark eventually took over in January. Yeah. So it was a crazy time, and you know, but saying the club was a bit of a shambles.
But we shouldn't forget Joe Royal either, who was in charge when you came back up from that League Two playoff.
The gaffer, yeah, absolutely brilliant.
The gaffer.
To this day, I still don't think Joe gets the credit he deserves. You know, and
I agree.
I think what a lot of people don't realise, when Joe came in, we'd 56 pros.
Wow.
And if you think Premier League, 25. 56, yeah, it's mental.
Wow.
You know, because every manager that came in was allowed to sign their own players without necessarily letting anybody go. And it was just a crazy time. We had three first team changing rooms. You know, the actual first team.
That's ridiculous.
There was the ones that were on the fringe that the gaffer wanted to get rid of, but couldn't. And then the ones that he possibly wanted to keep, but couldn't afford to keep. And you know, what it's like if you've got two or three players in a squad that aren't happy, it can create a horrible atmosphere. You know, and we ended up having about 30 of them. And
How on earth did you train there? What on earth did they do with training?
Just training at different times. but honestly, how the gaffer managed that was unbelievable. You know, and to create a bit of stability, to create a squad that was going to get promoted first and foremost, but then to be able to get people out in the right way, in the right manner, and then whittle that down to a squad of 20 and then crack on and actually have a team to do it. And to get back, people sort of forget that we did get promotion with the sort of league, the playoff against Gillingham, but we ended up getting back-to-back promotions the following season, straight back into the Premier League. And a huge part of that, if not the biggest part of it, was Joe and his management style, how he got his playing, and how he managed people as well. You know, he wasn't just our gaffer, he was our dad at times, he was our mentor, and he just created the most unbelievable atmosphere in a football club that the atmosphere previously had been poisoned.
I love Big Joe, and I love many of the short descriptive phrases that he's used down the years, Paul. One of my favourites being, he's slower than a weekend in prison.
He said that to me a few times.
But he also, did you get upset when he described you as a croaker?
Yeah, I did actually, because I asked him what he meant by it, and he went, obviously coming from Glasgow, I'd never seen a crocus.
No, we wouldn't have done, no.
And he said, well, you always seem to come to life in spring. And I said, well, that's only. but that was only because you never bloody played me.
I was going to say, if you pick me in the autumn and winter, I might get a few. Yeah.
I don't think exactly. He would have meant that unkindly either. I think that it wouldn't be a view on your form prior to, but would say you actually really came to life in spring. That's what I'm going to say. That's what I think.
Yeah, exactly. And even the gaffer with me was great when he first came in. I remember having a conversation with him where he told me he wanted to keep me. But because of the finances at the club, that they had to take bids for any player that came in. And he sat me down and told me that Wigan, at the time, who were in the same division as us, we actually went on to beat them in the playoff semi-final. He said they'd come in, he said the decision was up to me.
No.
And because I trusted the gaffer, I just said to him, look.
No, sorry. Easy decision.
Do you want to keep me here? That was my first question to him. And he said, yes. And I said, well, if you want to keep me here, I said, I'll stay and I'll show you. And I'll prove you. And I think the relationship from that day on between me and Joe, because this was early and I'm coming to the club as a manager. And I think that sort of cemented the relationship we had, because there was trust there straight away.
With respect, Paul, with what you just said there, Wigan have never been at the same level as City, ever.
No.
It might have been the same league, no. But not the same level.
Pest and Wasp, I guess you pest, quite like.
Pest and Wasp, I get, yeah. I get that.
I did. Because that was my game, you know. I knew my limitations as a player. And I knew that the main part of my game is to get under people's skin and to work as hard as I possibly could to upset defenders and do a job for the team. You know, I was never one of these that thought I was better than what I was. I would never put myself there either, but I knew my capabilities. I was never going to get the ball at the halfway line and beat five players and stick it in the top corner. So I learned very early from my days at Arsenal under George Graham, and he just told me to concentrate what I was good at.
Yeah, good advice.
Not try to be anything else, because in the early days at Arsenal, Andy, I was with all these wonderful, talented players in the youth team, and I really struggled.
Go on, give us a few. Give us a few names, if you remember.
Ray Parler, Andy Cole, just to name a couple in the youth team. And I would look at them as a young boy come down to Scotland in training, and I would actually, I was 16, 17 year old, but I would try to be what they were. And I remember George just sitting me down one day and saying, look, I was frustrated, I was getting angry, because I felt I couldn't compete. And George just sat me down and said, look, you're here because you're Paul Dickard. And he says, you're not Ray Parler. You're not Andy Cole. And he says, do what you're good at and you'll have a good career in football. He said, if you try to be somebody else, he said, you won't. And I just took that with me.
Good advice.
From that day to I ended up finishing playing.
Was it Martin took you to Leicester? O'Neill?
It was actually Dave Bassett.
Oh, was it Harry?
Yeah. And when I signed, I knew Harry was stepping down. He was getting his 1,000th game against Man United, it was. And Mickey Adams was taking over from him. So Harry actually signed me, but it was Mickey I was only there for a couple of months before Harry left, and then it was Mickey that took on the mantle after that.
Keezy likes Mickey Adams as a coach.
Yeah.
Paul.
Yeah. I've heard that.
Yeah, he wasn't my favourite.
No, he wasn't his favourite. No.
He wasn't my favourite, but I wasn't the only one. So to get right up to date, Paul, you're now working for Manchester City as an ambassador, but also on Manchester City TV. Is that right?
Yeah, it is. It is. And, you know, I know the club get a lot of stick because the owners, the money they spend, but I can't speak highly enough of them as in how they've treated me and the other former players now. So the City TV cover every game. So there's myself, like I'm doing the Swindon game for the FA Cup with Sean Wright Phillips, Richard Dunn, Julian Lescott, and there's quite a few of us that come and do it. And as much as it's serious in the match day, first and foremost, it's good fun meeting up with your ex-teammates.
Yeah, it is.
It's a good channel because it's City TV and you can be as biased as you want.
That is true. That's brilliant.
And that alongside with the stuff travelling abroad and everything else promoting the club because, you know, it's a completely different Man City from when I signed in 1996.
Could you ever have imagined where it's ended up, Paul? That would it ever have entered your head back then?
No, not at all. Not at all. And I've got a lot of friends that are Man City fans. Uh-huh. Even when the owners first came in 2008, they would have cut your right hand off just to win an FA Cup or a League Club Cup at any time because they thought they would never see that in their lifetime. So to see them winning Premier Leagues, competing at the top end in the Champions League, winning trophies in the style of football that they're doing, I don't think anybody could have imagined anywhere near it at all.
We had this conversation. By the way, give our best to Danny and Jolyon. Had it not been for COVID, Paul, I like to think we might have seen you out here in this part of the world as well. Yeah. But we haven't seen anybody for 2 years. But I had this conversation with Andy the other day. A club like City now, you're not looking to win the League Cup and the FA Cup, are you? You've got to be...
Of course they are.
There's only two trophies. No, there's only two trophies for City any season, surely. One, title. And if that costs you Champions League, give it up. Give it up. Because that's the only one, isn't it? The Holy Grail, Champions League?
I think it is. But I also think that the way the club is now and the mentality of the club is that they want to win every trophy that's out there. You know, I think we've seen that and with the League Cup over the past sort of winning five in a row. You know, I think everybody would have thought that would be the one trophy that the club and Pep would want to win. But he's shown that Pep's a serial winner.
But isn't there an argument, Paul, that in doing that you've cost yourself later in the season, the big one?
Possibly, but I do think that they've probably only got themselves to blame. You know, in the Champions League final, they give Chelsea their credit. They were the better team tonight, but Man City, the team, just didn't turn up. I don't think that's got anything to do with playing extra games in the League Cup or the FA Cup or anything else. It was just the one-off game that they didn't turn up in. But going back to your question, I think the Champions League has to be the one they're going for.
You know, but would you give up the league for the Champions League? I think what Keyes is getting to, let's just put this hypothetically for you as a supporter as much as an ambassador. Yep. Would you, if you're coming up to the end of the season, you've got two massive games coming up. You've got almost what you would call a league decider on the Sunday, and then you've got the Champions League final on the Wednesday. Are you playing your best team?
That's a great question,
are you playing your best team in two games? That's what I think Keyes trying to say.
as a City fan and obviously ex-player working with the club, I would have to go for the Champions League.
Yeah,
you know because the Premier League I think it's 5-6 times in the last 10 years it's been won. The Champions League.
You're getting blasé now, aren't they? Yeah, you're getting blasé now about that.
But you can, so enjoy it. Why not?
Can I get ready to tell you a quick story, Paul? Because it's a bit like somebody getting blasé. I remember when we won the league title at Everton and Peter Reid's mum was interviewed in the players' lounge after it and she's talking like a fan and they go, well, what's that like? She's saying, it's coming up with the winning the league it was. And she says, well, we know the FA Cup. We've had that glory. But that's gone now. So we're after the league title. That's what's important. She was 100% right. She was brilliant.
She was right. And I think it is the same now for City fans. That done the league, got to go and win the big one. But what's the situation around the club this morning, Paul, with COVID? I mean, this morning being Friday, people might be missing or rather listening to this into the middle of next week. But COVID's not good, is it?
No, it's not. Obviously, 14 members of the staff and players have all caught it. It's rife everywhere at the minute. You know, but the game's going to go ahead, as far as we've seen. Mm. And I think rightly so. And, you know, Manchester City have got this fantastic academy now We've got some super young players coming through. You know, Cole Palmer, James McAtee, and Beckett. You know, that there's some real talent coming through. And I just think to put them on the stage in FA Cup, Swindon away, and TV cameras are going to be there for the experience for them will be amazing. But to get the games played, and I think it sort of sends a message out to other clubs as well. You know, there's been a lot of games cancelled, and I know it's been rife at other clubs. But if you've got your academy there, if you've got your under-23s there, why not use them if you've got the chance?
As a centre forward, Paul, has it been strange or has it been enjoyable or surprising to see your club play for what now? Best part of a season and a half, really without what you would call a centre forward?
It's been amazing and fascinating as well, because I wasn't a big fan of it, Andy. Mm. You know, being an old school centre forward, I'm thinking you need that number nine.
I'm with you.
That's going to be up there regardless. But to see the way they've played, and you know, people are talking about the run they're on this season without one, but they went, I think it was 22 games, winning every single game last year without a centre forward. Mm-hmm. And how they play and how they set up, it's fascinating to watch from a football point of view. But at the same time, it's people talk about them playing a false number nine. Within any game, guys, they play with three or four, maybe five false number nine. You know, if Bernardo Silva, Foden, Sterling, De Bruyne has been up there, even Gundogan at times has been up there, Mahrez has been in there, Grealish has been in there, but they just interchange so well. And that can only be, people say it's because you've got the best players and the best squad, but that can only come down to the coaching that they get on the training pitch. Mm. To be as fluid as they are, create the chances that creating without a centre forward is just, and scoring the amount of goals that they're scoring as well, it's crazy to even think of it. But I would still have a number nine in there.
Yeah, me too. I've said to Keezy, Paul, and I don't know if you want to, but I've always said to Richard, when you look back at the Champions League final last year, and I've said to him, I said, let me tell you, I think and I believe that if City had a Harry Kane playing for them against Chelsea, you'd have won the Champions League. That's what I think last year. I think if you had one, I think you might have already achieved what you're after.
This answer comes separate from the ambassador. This is a fan of Manchester City. He's about to answer this because we don't want to get him into trouble.
No, I'm just saying that. That's what I think.
Do you agree?
But I do. And I just think the amount of chances that they do create, and I know they're scoring goals, and they've already scored five, six and sevens this season, but to have a Harry Kane or a out and out number nine. I mean, I think I would even score 10 goals a season in that game.
By the way, Keezy thinks he'd get a couple. Don't worry about that.
although that's pushing it a little bit.
I was just thinking, Paul, as you were talking, that squad that Joe had would never see a game cancelled for COVID. He had 50 professionals.
Oh, I know.
He played every week. Listen, in closing, thoughts, please, if you don't mind, on what's happening at Oldham. I know a club also very close to your heart.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it is, and I'm gutted for everybody that's involved, you know. And from the time I was there, it's got fantastic fans, fantastic people in the club, and to see them bottom of the football league, the ownership that they've got, they don't care about the fans, they don't care about what's happening on the pitch, and it'll just be such a crying shame. And it's looking like they are going to go out the football league. Mm. And I wish the owner would. I wish he would do something about it. You know, whether that sell the club. And I know there have been buyers, and there will be buyers that will want to take it on to try and get it back on an even track. But he doesn't want to sell. But he doesn't want to do anything to make the club progress, which I can't get my head around.
No, banning fans is not the answer. That's
no,
a certainty
that's for sure.
Anyway, we do wish them well.
Absolutely.
And really nice to catch up, Paul. Thank you very much for spending
great
time
to talk,
with us,
Paul.
Give our best to everybody around about the club, especially the two lads, Joey and Dunny.
Brilliant.
Thanks
for you,
man.
Much for
cheers, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Cheers.
Great lad.
Yeah, good.
Wish he played for us.
he's not that daft. Come on. Paul's got a better sense of him. By the way, as a club, you'd enough Scots in your club as well.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
A very, good ones, very fine run of Scots for a long time.
McAllister, Strachan, yes. Hutchinson.
Yeah, Tommy Hutchison.
Hutchison. Willie Carr.
Yeah.
You've had some good Scots.
Good players. And absolutely. One that you've forgotten, which surprises me, because he was your boyhood hero.
Where? Colin Steen.
Correct.
Check that right away. And do you know how I never mentioned it? Man City. Yeah. Come on.
Centre-forward?
Yes. One of the greatest ever Scottish centre-forwards. Ever.
At centre-forward?
Yes.
Wynn Davis?
No. I said
was,
greatest ever.
Was Welsh.
Come on.
Quinny.
The lawman.
Oh, the lawman. Yeah. But you don't associate the lawman with City.
No, but
come
he
on.
Played for them.
He did. Yeah. I know. Both at the start and the end of his career and never quite
never
had
quite.
Any consequence.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I know.
No.
I know.
No, the lawman. You're right. No, the City fans don't want to talk about Dennis Law.
No, they probably don't.
Anyway, now you've found us. You can find us at the source of all good podcasts.
Oh, yes.
If you have a smart speaker, which Andy now does, you can ask your smart speaker to play Keys and Gray the podcast.
Alexa?
Yes.
Will she play it?
And it will do. Yes, she will. Yeah.
Why don't you try that?
And you, of course, can follow us on Insta and Twitter, Instagram. I sound like I'm an old man trying to be trendy.
No, do it. Yeah, you can do it.
Instagram and Twitter at Keys and Gray Pod. Keys, A-N-D, Keys and Gray Pod. So there you are. And as I always say, tell
you see, if we were being totally up to speed with the youth of today and things like that, would we not be Keys and Gray Feet DJ?
Feet?
Yeah, featuring.
Come oh, I see. On. Feet, yes.
Now you go the,
no,
the,
I just had
the,
visions of feet.
No, all the artists always do that. So-and-so, do feet, so-and-so, oh, yeah. Right. F-E-A-T.
No, well, then there is the evidence that I am not.
All right, then.
No, nor am
we'll
I
just
looking
put
to
with
be.
DJ.
Great to be back. Much fun. Thanks, Paul. And we'll see you at the same time next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.